In this session, we shall look at how to calculate the income tax liability for the trustees of a discretionary trust. Because a discretionary trust is such a flexible vehicle, the rates of tax which apply to income received by discretionary trustees are higher than those which applies to interest in possession trustees. Trustees of a discretionary trust pay income tax at the rates applicable to trusts on accumulated or discretionary income. At the moment, there are two rates which are applicable to discretionary trusts. Non-savings income, such as rental income, etc., is charged to income tax at a flat rate of 50%. Bank or building society interest, or interest on gilts, etc., is also charged at the flat rate of 50%. Dividends received by a discretionary trust are charged at 42.5%. The 50% and 42.5% rates for discretionary trusts were introduced from the 6th of April 2010 in alignment with the top rate of income tax for individuals. For tax years up to and including 2009-10, the rates applicable to trusts were 40% and 32.5%. The legislation concerning income tax and discretionary trusts is contained at section 479 and onwards of the Income Tax Act of 2007. Section 480 defines accumulated or discretionary income as income which must be accumulated or which is payable at the discretion of the trustees. This means that the rates applicable to trusts, i.e. 50% or 42.5%, only apply to income which the trustees are able, if they wish, to keep within the trust. This tells us two things. First, if any income is subject to an interest in possession, that is, if the beneficiary is entitled to income from part of the trust fund, the rates applicable to trusts do not apply to that income. Any income which is subject to an interest in possession is charged at 20% or 10%, depending on the source of income. The other thing that Section 480 tells us is that in order to arrive at income which is chargeable at the rate applicable to trusts, some relief is available for trust management expenses. Remember that the rates applicable to trusts only apply to income which is available for distribution. Therefore, if the trustees have received some income and that income has been used to meet expenses of the trust, such income is not available for distribution and is therefore not chargeable at the 50% or 42.5% rates. Effectively, therefore, when putting together an income tax computation for a discretionary trust, we can take a tax deduction for trust management expenses. The rates applicable to trusts do not apply to the first £1,000 of gross income received by trustees of discretionary trusts. Instead, such income will be taxed at the basic or dividend rates. This effectively treats the first £1,000 of income in the same way as income from an interest in possession trust. The basic rate band applies to non-savings income in priority to interest and in priority to dividends. For example, the first £1,000 of non-savings income will be taxed at the basic rate of 20%. Thereafter, any remaining non-savings income will be taxed at 50%. If non-savings income is below £1,000, the rest of the £1,000 basic rate band can be allocated to interest. Interest in this band will be taxed at 20%. If the £1,000 band has still not been used up, it will be allocated to dividends. Dividends in this band will be taxed at 10% only. Therefore, where income is received net of tax, for example bank interest or UK dividends, if that income falls within the £1,000 band, there will be no additional tax to pay. If the settlor has made more than one trust, the £1,000 band is divided between them, subject to a minimum band of £200 for each trust. We will now look at an illustration of how to put together an income tax computation for a discretionary trust. A discretionary trust has income as you see on the screen. It has rental profits, net of expenses, of £800. Bank interest, received net of tax, is £480 and dividends are £1,800. We will calculate the tax payable by the trust for the year. We first adopt the normal three-column format
and split income into non-savings, interest and dividends. We gross up the bank interest and the dividends to leave gross trust income as per the screen. Remember, there are no personal allowances to be deducted. We first consider the basic rate band, which applies to the first £1,000 of gross income. Non-savings income is £800. This is wholly within the basic rate band, so the rental profits will be fully taxed at 20%. £200 of the basic rate band is remaining. This will be taken up by bank interest. Gross interest is £600. Therefore, £200 of the interest is taxed at the lower rate of 20%, and the rest of the interest, £400, is taxed at the trust rate of 50%. As the dividends are all in excess of the basic rate threshold, they are fully taxed at the dividend rate of 42.5%. If we add up the respective tax liabilities, the liability of the trust for the year is £1,250. Like individuals, trustees receive credit for tax deducted at source. This will be 20% tax on interest and 10% notional tax on dividends. The tax payable by the trustees for the year is therefore £930.
Let us look in more detail at trust management expenses. As we saw on the previous page, to arrive at the income that is chargeable at the rate applicable to trusts, here abbreviated to RAT, we deduct trust management expenses from the gross trust income. Only expenses which are properly deductible against the income of the trust may be relieved. This means that any expenses which should be charged against the capital of the trust, for example, legal fees associated with capital items or other professional fees regarding trust investments, etc., cannot be deducted for income tax purposes. As trustees will have several sources of income, it is important to identify an order of priority for the set-off of trust management expenses. As is the case for interest in possession trusts, trust management expenses are set against dividend income in priority to other income. If there are insufficient dividends to meet the trust management expenses, the expenses are next set against any bank interest, and finally the expenses are borne from non-savings income. Finally, when taking a deduction for trust expenses, we must gross up the expenses at the appropriate rate. For example, if expenses are being deducted from dividend income, the expenses must be grossed up at 100 over 90. This is to make sure we are comparing like with like. Having grossed up the income in the tax computation, it is only then fair that we should do the same with the expenses. We do not enter net figures into an income tax computation. Another way to think about the grossing up of expenses is that if a trust expense of, say, £900 has been incurred, the trustees must have earned a gross dividend of £1,000 to meet that expense.
Assume that a discretionary trust has a variety of sources of income.
The trustees have rental income, after letting expenses, of £30,000. The trustees receive £16,000 worth of bank interest, which we duly gross up at 100 over 80. Finally, the trustees receive net UK dividends of £9,000, which gross up to be £10,000. From the gross trust income, the trustees can take a deduction for trust management expenses. Remember, only expenses properly deductible against the income of the trust can be deducted. Let us assume that the trust management expenses for the year are £1,800. These expenses are met from dividend income and accordingly must be grossed up at 100 over 90. The trust income chargeable at the rate applicable to trusts is therefore £30,000 of non-savings income, £20,000 of interest and £8,000 of dividends. The trustees have been able to deduct the trust expenses because the income used to pay the expenses, that is £2,000, is not available to be accumulated within the trust.
The basic rate band of £1,000 will be taken up by non-savings income taxed at 20%. Thereafter, the rate of tax applying to the rest of the non-savings income and to the bank interest is 50%. The dividends are fully charged at 42.5%.
As we saw on the previous page, £2,000 worth of gross dividends were used by the trustees to meet trust management expenses. This £2,000 of income is not charged at the rate applicable to trusts. However, the dividend income earned by the trustees, which has been used to pay the expenses, is chargeable to tax, but only at the lower or basic rates as appropriate. Therefore, the £2,000 of dividend income used to pay the expenses will be charged to tax, but at the dividend rate of 10%.
Let us now complete this example by calculating the tax payable by the trustees. The first £1,000 of non-savings income is charged at 20%, giving £200. The rest of the non-savings income, being £30,000 less £1,000, is charged at 50%, giving £14,500. The bank interest is also charged at 50%. The trust dividends, after deducting expenses, are charged at 42.5%, giving £3,400. The income which has been used to pay the expenses is chargeable to tax, but only at the dividend rate of 10%. The tax liability of the trustees, before tax credits, is therefore £28,300. As usual, credit can be given for the tax deducted at source from the bank interest and the dividends, leaving total tax payable by the trustees under self-assessment of £23,300. An income tax computation for a discretionary trust differs from an income tax computation for an interest in possession trust in three main ways. Firstly, discretionary trusts can receive some relief for trust management expenses. These expenses are grossed up and deducted from dividend income in priority to other income. Secondly, discretionary trustees will pay tax at the basic or dividend rates on the first £1,000 of income, and thereafter at 50% or 42.5% on the rest. Finally, when putting together a tax computation for a discretionary trust, don't forget that the income which has been used to pay the expenses is taxable, but only at the lower rate.
There are a couple of miscellaneous points to pick up with regard to discretionary trusts. Under a discretionary trust arrangement, a fixed sum of income, i.e. an annuity, can be paid to a beneficiary on an annual basis. This essentially gives the annuitant an interest in possession in a part of the fund.
As with interest in possession trusts, the gross amount of the annuity can be deducted as a deductible payment in calculating the trustee's tax liabilities. The payment is deducted from non-savings income in priority to other income. The trustees must withhold tax at source on the annuity at the basic rate. Therefore, the annuitant receives a net amount, and basic rate tax is deducted by the trustees and paid to the revenue at the end of the year. This will increase the trustee's liability at the bottom of the computation. Some receipts received by the trustees are not charged at the rate applicable to trusts, even though they are not strictly income. A common example of this is a lease premium. If trustees grant a lease on a property for less than 50 years, part of the premium received for the grant of the lease is charged to income tax, and the balance is charged to capital gains tax. As you'll see from the screen, the capital element is arrived at by taking 2% of the premium and multiplying it by n-1, where n is the number of years of the lease. After deducting the capital element of the premium, the balance is chargeable to income tax. For trust law purposes, the receipt of a premium is a capital item and does not constitute income which can be accumulated within the trust under the terms of Section 480. However, under Section 482, the 50% rate does apply to such a receipt.
Let us illustrate these additional points by way of an example. Here we have a discretionary trust, and under the terms of the trust, Andrew is entitled to a fixed sum of income of £5,000 per annum.
The income and expenses of the trust are as per your screen. You will see that the trustees have rental income, and have also received a premium of £25,000 for the grant of a 20-year lease. The trustees also have net bank interest, dividends, and have incurred some trust expenses of £3,500.
Our requirement is to calculate the tax due by the trustees.
The The trustees have rental income of £18,000. At this point, we'll not consider the lease premium. Part of the premium is chargeable to income tax, and it is taxed at the trust rate of 50%. We shall deal with it later.
Bank interest, grossed up, comes to £15,000, and gross dividends are £3,000.
Every year the trustees must pay a gross annuity of £5,000 to Andrew.
This may be deducted as a deductible payment and is taken from non-savings income first. From the gross income, the trustees may take a deduction for trust management expenses. As you may recall, these totaled £3,500.
Expenses are deducted from dividend income in priority to other income. The dividend income is £3,000. Therefore, we take £2,700 of the expenses and gross these up at 100 over 90. You will see, therefore, that all of the dividends have been used in meeting part of the trust expenses. The remainder of the trust expenses will be met from the bank interest. Trust expenses are £3,500, of which £2,700 has been met from the dividend income. The remaining £800 of net expenses are met from the bank interest. These must be grossed up at 100 over 80, giving a gross deduction for expenses of £1,000. The income liable to tax at the rates applicable to trusts is therefore £13,000 of rental income, £14,000 of bank interest, and no dividends.
The first £1,000 of the non-savings income is taxed at the basic rate of 20%. The rest of the non-savings is taxed at 50%. The bank interest is also charged at 50%. The final step is to deal with the lease premium. The trustees received a premium of £25,000 for the grant of a 20-year lease. After stripping out the capital element, £15,500 of the lease premium is chargeable to income tax. The rate of tax which applies to such income is 50%. Let's now complete the computation. The first £1,000 of the rents are taxed at 20%. The rest of the rents and the bank interest are charged at 50%. Andrew is entitled to a gross annuity of £5,000. The trustees will withhold tax of 20% at source from the annuity and will therefore have to pay this tax of £1,000 to HMRC. The taxable element of the lease premium is charged at the trust rate of 50%.
Finally, we need to deal with the income which has been used to pay the expenses. £3,000 of dividend income has been used to pay expenses, and this income is charged at the dividend rate of 10%. Finally, £1,000 of gross interest has been used to meet expenses, and this income is charged at the lower rate of 20%.
If we add these together, the income tax liability of the trustees is £22,450. Finally, we take a deduction for tax credits. The bank interest has been received net of 20% tax, and a 10% notional credit attaches to the dividend. The tax payable by the trustees under self-assessment is therefore £19,150. Having looked at the tax position of the trustees of a discretionary trust, let's now turn our attention to the beneficiaries. Beneficiaries have no entitlement to income and only receive income at the discretion of the trustees. Any income distributed to a beneficiary is deemed to have been paid net of a 50% tax credit. This 50% rate applies irrespective of the income actually received by the trustees. For example, if the trustees' only source of income is UK dividends on which tax is paid at 42.5%, if that income is subsequently distributed to a beneficiary, it will always carry a 50% tax credit. If a discretionary trust makes a distribution to a beneficiary, the distribution and the tax deducted therefrom is certified on form R185. For example, let us assume that a discretionary trust makes a distribution of £5,000 in cash to a beneficiary. The beneficiary has received a net amount of £5,000. If we gross this up by 100 over 50, the beneficiary is deemed to have received gross income from which 50% tax has been deducted at source. This will be certified as trust income on the form R185.
Unlike with interest in possession trusts, there is no transparency principle for discretionary trusts. Therefore, when a beneficiary receives a distribution of income from a discretionary trust, it is simply certified as trust income on the form R185 and is always treated as non-savings income in the hands of the recipient.
Therefore, the beneficiary will enter a sum of £10,000 on his or her self-assessment return. If the beneficiary pays tax at the 50% rate, no extra tax will be due on the gross trust income. If the taxpayer pays tax at the basic rate, or at 40%, a tax repayment will be due. The beneficiary will send the Form R185 to HMRC in support of his repayment claim.